years ago.
Excuse me. Preacher.
If you have your red book, go ahead and be turning to page 272. Solid Rock, 272. Travel back up to the Perry, Stark County area, and just to look at you guys to know that, wow, 17 months without seeing you, it's y'all have aged well. You really have. And but anyway, it's good to see everybody here. Got a few announcements. Shorewood or Grace School of Bible, if you're part of the mailing list, we did target a 50-mile radius from this area right here, and they mailed out a flyer with our church information on it. They mailed it out Wednesday, so some of you will probably be getting it Monday or Tuesday, that type of thing. Also, I'd like to share that I may target the area with a Facebook ad. Many of people have Facebooks, and it would target a certain group area here, potential 200, some 200 to 300 people, depending on how much we want to spend a day. I don't want to much spend $2 a day. I'm cheap. But anyway, that would target a certain area that would, when they get on Facebook, it would show, hey, there's a church over there. There's a church, that type of thing. What do they call that?
Algorithm.
Algorithm. Oh. So when you, if you notice, while when you walk in a store, all of a sudden they know what you're looking at. That's what same thing with churches and stuff. And people pay for them to do that. So it's not a big cost, so I want to share that with you. Prayer requests, praise items, keep walk, the two walks that are not here today. And as we continue to grow and continue to be here, it is, once again, it's great to see you guys. It really is. Let's go ahead and sing one more song, and then we'll share some things. Let's go to... let's do Victory in Jesus, 496. Victory in Jesus. 496. We'll say 1 and 3, I think it is. A little rusty here, guys. Had 17 months. Prepare for this day, didn't we?
I heard an old story.
saved me from glory. I gave my life on Calvary to save much like me. I heard about this groaning of the precious blood atoning. And I did get up my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all the love is due him. He plunged me into victory beneath the cleansing blood. I heard about the mansion he had built for me in glory. And I heard about the secret room beyond the crystal sea. About the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some say they now sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and taught me with his redeeming blood. He loved me and I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me into victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Hey, we're going to go ahead and get started. We want to welcome the people that's listening on the Facebook Live and YouTube channel. We're going to continue to bring this live. You know, Dispensation Bible Church, where we study the whole Bible. The Bible's on the way, and we are live, and so you can hear the people in the background, and that's a great, great thing, because the last 17 months we've been looking at a camera, I or my wife, and that type of thing, which she always looks beautiful to me. Anyway, a few announcements to make about, we'll go over some things that we, about the building in a little while, but we are back in the place where we started, other than our home, where we actually started, down the street there. And we do thank Tom and Barb for coming early and setting up the place, and all that thing. Yes, because I know he's excited, and the people that he's inviting, and this is what this is all about, to be able to teach. But the, what we want to do today, and it's been a while since we've been together, is the fact that we, I'd like to go over our doctrinal statement a little bit, just to renew our mind, like, hey, what do we do? Why do we do this? Or why do we do that? So I'm hopefully within the hour that I haven't seen you guys in a while, so I might take a long time, at least a couple weeks. No, but the thing is, we'll go over our doctrinal statement. Many of you know these things, but it might just be good to renew our mind with some things about that. And then we're teaching through the Bible, fundamental to dispensationalism, and I hope some of you have been following that. If you're not sure about how to do that, see me afterwards, and I'll show you how to do it on your phone or something. We're in lesson 18 of that, and we're working through the Bible, the fundamentals of dispensationalism through the Bible, and it's very, 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 very important as us, as dispensationalists, to understand that what we believe and what the Bible says. It's one thing to put our own spin on it, religion, and many of you come out of religious background, and you know you spent years of vanity and pride and a religious background in it, and it's hard, sometimes it's hard to shake that, because there's baggage. I still have some baggage in the past, but one thing I do not doubt is about, I do have the inherent Word of God in the Amen. King James Bible. I do believe that God is my Savior, and He sent His Son to die for me, and also that I believe that there's a gospel out there that can save a lost person that goes from death to life, and that's the main thing today. Is that we live in a dark world. And many of our eyes are open up, but it's been dark ever since when Jesus Christ left this earth. It's been dark. it's been dark ever since the fall of Adam. So you can go back, and what makes it so seems like it's accelerating is the technology we have. You know, it used to be you write a letter and 7 days later somebody responded to you and you're like, oh wow, they're doing well, that's great. You know, that's what you were, or you rode a horse or you drove a car or, you know, to go see your grandparents or parents. But now it's just boom. And don't get me wrong, I love technology. I love to be able to FaceTime my grandchildren. I love to be able to keep in touch with my children and that type of thing. So it can be a wonderful tool, but it also can be a discouraging tool, can't it? I mean, the things that you can look at and see and your mind's wrapped around. But the thing is, we got a gospel, guys and gals. We got some good news that will take people that's in that dark world and lead them to light. And believe me, truth will come out in any situation, and good always prevails. And God's always prevailing through His Word. So what we're going to do now is talk about some things about a doctrinal statement. We have a saying at Dispensational Bible Church. We study the whole Bible, 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. The Bible's on way, 2 Timothy 2:15. You know, God spoke a book and we are to study it. Okay, that's mainly that. It's we have to study it. And in order to get profit out of the book, you must do what? Rightly divide the word of truth. And God's desires to have all men to be saved and come to that knowledge of the truth. But we also know that everybody's not going to be saved. Mm-hmm. You know that, don't you? You know, we talk to people all the time. Some people just don't want to know. So we can't help that, but what we can do is stand for truth and be able to share that. The compass of preaching at Christ's death, burial, and resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15:3 and 4, and teaching right division, 2 Timothy 2:15, and to help people understand the twofold purposes in God's message. Remember what they were? From Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heaven and earth, and then and the Acts 3:21, that's the prophecy program. And then secondly is the mystery and heavenly program in Romans chapter 16, verse 25, and that threefold position. Does it seem like I'm going fast?
It really does.
Because I am going fast. I'll calm down a little bit. I was coming up the road and I started getting nervous. Literally. Yeah. And I know you guys from years. And I'm like, I'm getting nervous. But when you come to preach and teach the Word of God, it should make you a little nervous. You know what I mean? Because it ain't about me. It's about this. And when you want to be clear, you want to be precise, and I'll try to downshift a little bit, you know. But, you know, as well as I know, for $3.99, you can get the tape. But it'll be on YouTube later. It's free. But anyway, many of you know this about times past, but now and ages to come. In between God's prophecy program and a mystery program, there's a threefold division, okay? And we know that in times past, where you find that at? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Okay, and times past, and then you have but now. And we'll get some verses here in a little bit. And then you have times past. God made a distinction between circumcision and uncircumcision, Jew and Gentile, and then but now. Okay, there is no distinction, and a lot of people can't understand that. That you don't, when you're in the body of Christ, you don't become a part of circumcision up here. There's no difference down here. Okay? None. That's what Acts 15 and Galatians chapter 2 is all about. They came to Paul and them, said, hey, unless you are circumcised in the matter of Moses, you cannot be saved. Paul's like, I'm going to Jerusalem. I'm going to talk to these people because this is not what's happening today. And he goes there, and they shake hands. They seem to be pillars. They shook hands and said, Peter, James, and John, and the 12 would go to the circumcision. That's these people up here. And Paul, Barnabas, would go to the, he called them what?
Heathen.
Now, who would be a heathen?
Me. Unsaved.
Gentile.
Not only Gentiles, but who?
Jews.
The lost Jews that wasn't saved in that little flock. So that makes everybody a heathen down here. And that's how Paul looked to these people as they went. We might get to the doctrinal statement after a while, we might not. But the thing is, Paul looked at when he went to those synagogues as his manner was, he went in there looking at them as heathen. Did they have the word of God? Yes, that's why he went in there. He opened up the word of God that they had. He showed them that Jesus Christ was the Messiah and that he suffered and died for to save them. And a lot of them said, hit the road. We don't want you in here. And that's how Paul approached everybody that wasn't uncircumcised as a heathen. So when we think about things like that, and we need to be acknowledged that there's heathen out there. And that might be hard for some, but we are committed to teaching faithful men and that we are able to teach others. That's what we've been doing for years, is teaching. We have a teaching ministry here. Sometimes I preach at you guys, you know, that type of thing, but when I preach, I'm preaching to myself too. You know, since one brother called me a heretic, I'm just joking. I'm gonna have to get him on that one. But the thing is that we have a message of grace that we need to proclaim here. I've learned a long time ago, no matter where you're at, you fly one flag. You don't fly 15 nation flags out there. You fly one flag of truth. And if people want truth, whether it's here in the Little Grace Church under the law, or if it's out there on a stump, or if it's out there on the fairgrounds, or in your house, you can have truth. Okay? And that's what we're doing. And we conduct ourselves as the church of the living God. We're the pillar and grounds of the truth, guys. The local church is very, very important. I just spent about a couple weeks ago, went to the family conference in Chicago. What a wonderful blessing it was. You can find that online if you want to watch every one of them. And each day, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Sunday dealt with volition, free will. God never takes your free will away from you. You have the ability to choose. So when people dies and go to hell, God didn't send them there. You chose to go there when you ignore. And there's one unpardonable sin that I believe in, that when you die unsaved, you're unpardonable. You can't get saved after you die, guys. You can't pray somebody out of the grave. You know what I'm talking about? Sunday was free will, volition. Monday was marriage between a man and woman. They dealt with that. Tuesday was the family. Okay? And Wednesday was the human government that's supposed to support those three institutions. And then Thursday was the local church. So there's five institutions that we really need to be standing on and firm as Bible believers. And that local church is very, very important. Okay? And that's why we conduct ourselves and uphold the beliefs of a statement on the Bible. What do you think the Bible? We believe that the entire Bible is the inspired word of God. Do you believe that? I do. From kiver to kiver. You know, even the maps might be inspired, you know, that type of thing. But the thing is, the word of God is inspired, and 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. How many scriptures?
All.
And it has to be all. And sometimes when I read, I'm like, what did he just say? You know, it's hard. But my mind, if my human mind might not be able to comprehend what God says. So that's why the Spirit of God wrote this book. And it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. For prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So what happened? The holy men of God spake as the Holy Ghost told them what to say. You guys know that there's people in the Old Testament book that there's kings really took a penknife and cut those things out, the words of God, and throw them in the fire. And you know what God told Jeremiah to do?
You're right.
Write everything that he did and add more to it. So you cannot destroy the Word of God. And what preserves the Word of God today is the local church. Okay, you and I are preserving this word for generations and generations, and when you teach your grandchildren, you teach your children that they can have a word of God, they're going to have it. And now, we talked about a dark world earlier. What happens if they come and shut all your electronics off and you can't communicate? You know, I have Bibles on mine, you know what I mean? You use the word. What happens if they come to your house and take all your Bibles and have a book burning? Where's the word at? In the heart, in the spirit. So you hide it in here. You have it in. You have enough knowledge and Bible in you that you can actually, when you speak it, you're speaking the word of God. That's exciting, guys. So you're not going to get that out of you. You know, they can nail you to a stake. There's been people that have literally been nailed to the stake for what they believe, writing the word of God in English language. And then that wasn't good enough. They dug his bones up and did something else with it. You know, that type of thing. So we should not be fearful of having the word of God and knowing that when we talk to people, have you ever noticed when you talk to people about the word of God, and they could be a heathen, and they're going to tell you what their Bible says? Mm-hmm. Just the other day, I worked with a Muslim. And he asked me, he said, Ed, he said, what exactly is the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost? I said, it's the third person of the Trinity. And, you know, a lot of people don't like that. You know, there's groups out there, Jesus, that God, Jesus is God, that type of thing. They won't look at the Holy Ghost. So I was telling him about the Holy Ghost and how he's here inside of us today and that type of thing. And he started referring to the Quran, what Muhammad had said. Well, Muhammad's quoting the Jewish Bible in a lot of things. Yeah. You know, he really is. But anyway, that's an opportunity to share that the Holy Ghost spoke this Bible. We believe that the Bible has been preserved and exists today in English for the English-speaking people, commonly known as the what? King James Bible. We have an authorized version. You know, and that's a good thing. You know, that's authority. And a lot of us don't like authority. You know, I rebelled against authority when I was small, you know what I mean, that type of thing. We don't like authority. But the 2 Timothy 3:15, 16, we just mentioned, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures are given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. They have known the Holy Scriptures. They had the Bible, guys. Many of you grew up with family Bibles, didn't we?
Yeah.
On the table. How many still got their mom and grandma's family? There you go, I do too. And it just, it's there on my table. Now, you it's falling apart, but it's there. What does Psalms 12, 6, and 7 say? It says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Now, what's seven mean in the Bible?
Completion.
Perfection. Correct. Completion. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God's going to preserve his word forever. That should be comfort to us. You know, and then even Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, it talks about, verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot and one tittle shall not no wise pass from the law till it is fulfilled. The word's not going away. The word's not going ahead. Okay, what about the Godhead? What are we to talk about the Godhead? We believe one God, right? Yeah. And eternally exist in three persons, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And Deuteronomy chapter 4 says, hear, O Lord, chapter 6, verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28:19. Matthew 28:19. Go ye, and he's, that Matthew's talking to Israel here, not talking to the body of Christ, but here's what I want to get you out of it. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of who? The Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Verse 14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. There it is again, all three of them. See that? And then what, Ephesians chapter 4 talks about the love of God, the Father, and all that. And then 1 John chapter 5, Hebrews, Peter, James, John. 1 John chapter 5. Verse 7. For they are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are, see what they call the Lord Jesus Christ? The Word. You know, you can do comparison between the living Word and the Word that you have, right? And then we believe that the Lord Jesus Christ was begotten by the Holy Ghost, born of a Virgin Mary, and is true God and man. That's Luke chapter 1, verse 35. And Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. And Philippians chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. What about salvation? Do we just believe anything what we want to believe for salvation?
No.
No. We believe that man is saved by grace through faith alone, don't we? Mm-hmm. You know, that's the Galatian problem, by the way. Galatians was saved by grace through faith, and these Judaizers came along and said, it's okay that you're doing it, but you got to be circumcised. You got to be baptized. See what they done? Mm-hmm. They came along and added to grace. And man is deprived, utterly sinful, and his efforts, regardless of how well intended, cannot earn salvation.
Amen.
Doesn't matter how good we are. And be turning to Romans chapter 3. And salvation is a gift that is freely made available by the complete payment for sin through Christ's death, burial, resurrection. Amen?
Amen.
Romans chapter 3, verse 9. What then? Now, you got to remember, in your studies, the first three chapters of Romans goes along with the first three chapters of Genesis. If you want to know why we are the way we are, if you want to know why when you look at somebody, he's doing or she's doing exactly the way they are, that's why nothing surprises me. Nothing surprises me at all what man can do and cannot do because of what the Bible says about us. And a lot of people don't want to believe what the Bible says about us, right? You're not going to tell me I was that way. Yeah, you was that way. And Romans, first three chapters deals with the Gentile, the religious man, and now the religious Jew that had the oracles as God. You know, he didn't feel like he did anything wrong. Verse 9, what then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise, for we have before proved, both Jew and Gentile, that they are all under sin. And as is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, that there is none that seeketh after the Lord. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not what?
One.
That settles it. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. It does. Chapter 3, verse 24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Back up a minute and look at, for all has sinned and come short of glory of God, right?
Amen.
Who's got a problem with that? You got a problem?
Everybody.
I got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
I sinned. For all have sinned, come short. What is short of the glory of God? Sin, right? God set a standard. In any dispensation, he's got a standard, and he don't lower it for little old Edward. You know what I mean? He don't lower it. No, he's got a standard, and I have to come up to his standard. Many of us has been teachers and been supervisors and stuff like that, and they got a standard. You got a standard, you know, you don't lower that standard. And I think about the school system today. Listen, all I want my kids to do is learn how to read, write, and arithmetic. I can teach them everything else at home that I need them taught. You know, Dwight Yoakam's song, Reading, Writing, and the Road, Route 23. He's from Kentucky, and Route 23 left Kentucky, well, actually goes to Florida, and comes up into Ohio, and the coal miners and stuff thought it was better up in here. The cities had factories, and they took that Route 23 up there, and he wrote a song about that, Reading, Writing, and Route 23. But I know people from West Virginia, they can say Reading, Writing, and the Road to Akron. So that's the point. They come up here jobs, but the point is the fact that we have a problem. Man has a problem, and that's what it is. And then verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God's got a solution there. Mm-hmm. What is it? Redemption through who?
Jesus Christ.
Verse 25. Whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. We got a responsibility here. What's our responsibility? Faith in his
blood.
In the blood. So we do have something we have to clean and say. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be the just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where's the boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we concluded that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Chapter 4, verse 1. What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, have found. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believeth God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of what?
Debt.
If you think you can work for your salvation, it's a debt. You're never going to pay it off. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justified the ungodly, by the ungodly his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describes the blessedness of a man whom unto whom God imputed righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is a man to whom the Lord will not impute what?
Sin.
1 Corinthians. See, it's by faith that you trust Christ died for you, and he imputes what to you on your account?
Righteousness.
Don't we want to be right with God?
Absolutely.
Listen, when I knew about Jesus Christ when I was 8 years old. I knew that he died and was buried in Rosemont. But I really didn't take it to heart till dispensationalist people started sharing some things about the distinctions. And I just wanted to be right with God. Trying to be right with man and me being right, that was most miserable. And that's when I got down on my knees that time. I said, Lord, if this is right, if what the dispensationalist theology and the view is right, I want to be right. And when I did, I mentioned this time and time again, it's like a can of sardines with that key. Got to put that key on there right? You ever put it on there in a hurry, you're hungry, and broke the key off? And you're like, how do I open? You're sitting there trying to rip it open, and you're worried about your fingers bleeding and all that stuff. It can cut you. But you put it on there right, and you start turning easy. And that's what that, my mind opened up to say, this was right. It didn't matter what anybody else said. And that's helped me out in understanding the Word of God right and divided. I mean, I don't know it all, but I know what it's not. And sometimes when you know what it's not, it helps you out more so than knowing it all. Mm-hmm. If that makes sense. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If you start with verse 18, it says, "For the preaching of the cross is to him that perish foolish, but unto us which are saved it is what?
The power of God.
The preaching of the cross, when we preach that cross the right way, it is the power of God. And if you go down to verse 21, "For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the fullness of preaching to save them that what?
Believe."
You believe what? You preach what? A cross. Oh, that's just nonsense. No, it's not nonsense, is it? It's the power of God. "For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto a Jew a stumbling block, unto the Greeks a foolishness. But unto them which are called by both Jew and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God." So if you want to know power, and if you want to know wisdom, where are you going to find that at? In the Word of God, for one, right? Mm-hmm. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than man. The weakness of God is stronger than man. You know what Romans chapter 1 talks about? Professing themselves to be wise, they became what?
Fools.
Do you know a lot of professing people out there? For let's see, let's go to chapter 2. Well, verse 26. Mm-hmm. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base of the things of the world and the things that which are despised hath God chosen you, chosen ye, and the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. I know that was a mouthful. That no flesh shall glory in his presence. You cannot boast there. You cannot build yourself up. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. We do this for the Lord. We preach the cross because of the Lord. And brethren, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellent of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of man, but in what?
Power of God.
Now what is the power of God again?
Preaching the cross.
Listen, you've heard this before. And no matter what, we preach the cross. We preach the word. I can sit up and preach and teach opinions all day long. And that's not going to build you up. It really isn't. So what do? We preach the word. We preach the word about salvation. First of all, when you talk to people, you got to find out what they know about Jesus Christ. You know there's people today don't know who Jesus Christ is? Do you realize that? And some that do, they just think, oh, he's just a man, fifth, sixth man. Well, if they don't know who Jesus Christ is, where do you got to take them to?
Genesis.
You got to take them to God the Creator. You know who God the Creator is? God the Bible? That's how I describe God who spoke this. He's God the creator, because there's God of this world's out there, right? And they're going to believe in some God. If they don't believe in God of this world, and they don't believe in God of creation, what God are they going to believe in?
Themselves.
Look at me. You know, and so you have to take them back to God the creator. It's sad, but I've had to do that. You would think here in 2021 that people would know who Jesus Christ said he died and buried and rose again. Where else stuff at? Power of God. How be it? Verse 6. We speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that came to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a
mystery.
Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world into our glory. You got wisdom out there, wisdom of this world. And who's running the world system?
Satan.
You think he's going to tell you anything good about God?
Nope.
Listen, I'll try not to shed a tear or something. I had to teach, and my message in Chicago was Godly Fathers, and about the absence of them in a home, why the kids are usurping authority and all that stuff. And the song I played was called a Grascal song, What Does God Look Like? And it's a little girl, asking her daddy, what does God look like? And he's asking, does he shave? Does he wear a hat? Does he ride a bike? hang on a minute. But what it got to, she painted a picture of God through him. So if the God of this world is teaching our kids, how are they going to know the God of the Bible?
Amen.
They're not. So we have a responsibility, and many of us probably fail, but it's never too late. It's never too late to talk with your kids. I don't care how old they are. Just remind them who God the Creator is, because if you don't teach them, who's going to teach them?
The world's
going to suck them up and teach them. So we have wisdom in God's world in a mystery. They have wisdom in God's world according to the world system. Now, in times past, I'm getting off the subject a little bit. So, in times past, the believers had the wisdom of God's word. Okay? And they taught Israelites, because Israel's supposed to have been the what? A guiding light,
mm-hmm.
into the world, and the Gentiles would come to that light, right? But you can't teach that wisdom today in the dispensation of grace. But what it says, but we speak wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. He had this mystery program in himself back before the prophecy program come into effect. You with me? So when we preach the power of God, the death, burial, resurrection, and we teach the wisdom of God in a mystery, you got something there. You know, you're teaching something that says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they had, if they had known it, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. You ever thought about that for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Has that verse ever hit you?
Yeah.
If they had known what this mystery wisdom would accomplish, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory, the princes of this world. Now, who's the princes of this world? Was that been good things? Satan's one. What this mystery program, this wisdom that you have at, in your mind and in your Bible, will set the whole world on fire. Will turn this world upside down. You worry about political stuff or financial stuff. This system, this right here, will make you make decisions based on who you are in Christ. Wise, noble decisions. I'm going to pick on my wife for a minute. You know I will. She needs some maintenance guys down there, okay? And she offered me a position down there. She said, if I pay you X amount of dollars, would you consider to do this? And I'm sitting there on my chair that she bought me for Christmas. Big old chair. It's really nice. And I'm sitting there and I said, Now, what does this entail me? I want you to be the supervisor. You know, she mentioned that. I don't know if I should say it over there, but it's gone out now. And I didn't say nothing to her till I know that she's needing help, okay? Next morning, I get up at 3:15, hit the road and stuff, so she's nowhere near awake. And when I called her, I said, honey, I said, the reason I didn't answer you because of I felt the desire, the need, the desperate, you feel, you know, you hear it. And I said, we don't make decisions based on emotions. You don't. And I said, one thing, I don't want to set you up for failure. Two, I don't want to set myself up for failure. I said, three, do you know how much I make?
You're correct.
I can work for her part time. But anyway, the thing is where was I going with this?
Decisions based on that.
So if when they make a decision, we make decisions based on who we are in Christ with this wisdom.
Amen.
And knowledge and power. We have the power of God at our disposal. I don't know if you guys thought about that. 17 months we ain't seen each other. 17 months is like a page out of time. I saw my grandchild 2 years old for the first time because we didn't go down there. She's like, you should be 4 years old. You know, walking around and talking, and pop-pops. And that type of thing. It's like, where did that year go? But we continue to know who we are, and we preach and teach, and we continue to grow. And I appreciate you here today. I really do. And I appreciate the opportunity to share this with you. And it goes on to say, but as is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Listen, we got the word, we got the power, we got the salvation. And chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, go there real quick. But what is the gospel of Christ? What is what we're talking about? What is that wisdom? What is that power? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Moreover, brethren, I declared in you the gospel which I preached in you, which also ye have received, and ye stand. There's something of the gospel there. He preached it, you received it, and guess what you're going to do? You're going to stand in it. You're not going to be tossed to and fro. You're not going to be watering it down. You're not going to be... Now, can you? Have you? Many of us have. Many of us like, I don't want to stand. By which also you are saved, if you keep in memory which I preached to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Mm-hmm. That's the gospel of Christ right there. And if you went on down through there and kept reading, what Paul was saying will hold up in any court of law in this land. It's a fact. A fact. Eternal security. We're not going to get through this.
Surprise.
We believe about eternal security, right? We believe that eternal security of the believers. God secured you. He saved you. He sealed you. He sanctified you. You're his. Okay? Mm-hmm. You can't get out of that. You can try. You can say, I don't. But once you trust that in your heart, guys, not up here, in your heart, it's always been a heart issue with God. Always. You know people, and I know people that has all kinds of head knowledge, right? But where's that heart at? Israel's program was a heart issue, always. But no, let us do this, let us do that. They want to show the flesh. It's a heart issue. I tell people all the time, I can't judge your soul. You ever had them people say, well, you're judging me. I can't judge your soul. I can judge your actions. Eternal damnation. We believe the eternal damnation of the lost. God created hell for the devils and his angels. But you know he has to enlarge it for the people that don't believe. Like I said earlier, the only unpardonable sin is dying saved. Mm-hmm. And you're going to spend eternal damnation, he says, in the lake of fire over here. That's not a great place. The church, the body of Christ, we believe the church, the dispensation of the body of Christ, which is distinguished from the prophesied earthly kingdom of Christ, the body of Christ, and the dispensation of grace, had its historical beginnings with salvation and commission of the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 15. You have three, you have Acts 2 dispensationalists, many of you came out of that. You have a mid-Acts dispensationalist, that's us. Then you have Acts 28 dispensationalists. Acts 28 dispensations say that the body of Christ started and with Paul in Acts 9, but the dispensation don't start till after his prison epistles, okay? And that the dispensation, it didn't go out to us Gentiles till after Paul was in prison, that type of thing. Paul says, in me first. So it's so much easier to start the dispensation of grace and the body of Christ with the rising up Apostle Paul. You get in this other stuff, you're going to get in some bad areas that's going to draw you away to two sinnings. Some people, the Acts 28 people says Paul's got two sinnings, that he was sent here first, sent there first, two callings, two this. It's all messed up. And I've watched people fall for that over and over. A dear brother I know for 20-some years out on the East Coast got a big $1,400 people following on that one-eyed monster right here, okay? He has no accountability in the local church. See, you guys hold me accountable, and I hold you accountable. That's why a local church is very, very important. But if you've got an internet ministry, you can say and do anything you want to and lure people away. And he's caught right down that trail, and he started down that trail, and I knew where he was going. Go back in 96, 7, I was going down that trail. And then I realized, whoa, this don't make sense. When we first started a church, people down there in the Tennessee area and Alabama area and stuff said, hey, start a church up here. Y'all need to go down here and help them. Well, they come out of Cleveland area, come down here. They was that type of people. And every Sunday they'd come up here and say, hey, if you do this, I ain't doing it. If you do that, I ain't doing it. And we just started a church. So we're going over some things. You know how we got rid of them? They didn't teach, they didn't think Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Thessalonians was to you, because they had Jewish terminology in it. So I said that next Sunday we're teaching the book of Romans. It's the first book of doctrine for the body of Christ. Never seen them again. Because you're not going to sway me. You're not going to move me about dispensational truths, period. Now, I'll listen to you, and I have listened to you. But anyway, that's the church body of Christ and the salvation commission of Paul, the rapture of the church. We believe the church, the body of Christ, will be taken out of this world by Jesus Christ himself when he descends from heaven, according to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 and 18. This event was kept secret, was not made known. You know, I watch people all the time post on, well, my Bible says that before the rapture of the church happens, the Antichrist is up and running and he's being revealed and all that stuff. That's not the mystery program. That's why we're pre-trib. Okay? There's a pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib resurrection. And Paul takes you out of here before that. Let me ask you something. Do you have a verse in Paul's that you hang on that that saves you from wrath? Mm-hmm. In your mind right now, can you think of one verse?
We shall be saved from the wrath to come.
Amen. Paul says that. Mm-hmm. So this gospel, this salvation, eternal security, is going to save you from the wrath to come.
Amen.
Who's going to warn you to flee from the wrath to come? That's the wrath they're talking about. So this rapture is a mystery program. That's why a lot of people don't see it. That's why a lot of people has you going through this tribulation. There's after we're taken out of here, there's 144,000 priests preaching against that Antichrist. They're taken out of here mid-trib. The Bible says they're singing a new song in heaven. That's how you know they're out of here. Rapture church, very, very, very important to this ministry. Because I know people right now just said, well,
if Paul had people helping him, the little flock of Jewish believers helping him start these churches, then body of Christ is going to help the little flock over here start.
Does God need your help in that situation? He's got 144,000 people to preach that message over. He don't need our help. And you know what? There's people going to pick up their Bible and believe that. Listen, I'm convinced that if you think, how many people's in the world today?
7 billion.
7 billion. If you think for a minute that 7 billion people is going to be saved by the end of the week, you're fooling yourself. God's always dealt with remnants. So don't be surprised. Listen, I can turn right here and preach this all day long without looking behind me, and I'm not worried about who's behind me. You got to worry about who's right and the remnant. God's always dealt with remnant. Remember he said he said 7,000 people that did not bow their knee to Baal? And we're worried about a handful of people. I'm not worried about it. I'm thankful for you guys.
Amen.
You know what? You're learning. You're teaching. You're able to do this. And him being ahead for us members, Christ is forming a body here. Nowhere in your scriptures, and I challenge anybody listening, that if you have, how you say it, if you can find that God in the Old Testament, that Christ is ahead of a body, I'm going to pour you a cup of coffee. You can't. Only in Paul's epistles you see about a body. Over here is a king of a nation. Over here he's king of a nation. So it's very, very important that a distinction part of the new and special revelation is given to Paul. It's Christ being ahead. We strongly believe that the blessed hope, you know where you find that? Look at Titus right quick. Titus right quick. We'll get through this. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation have appeared to how many men?
Aww.
It's already out there, guys. Now, whether you choose that, that's up to you. It's appeared to all men. That's times past in Paul's epistle. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteous, and godly in this present world. That's but now. In verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of a great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. We're looking for that blessed hope. It's going to come, guys. And the ones that's died before us, they get resurrected before us. That's a good thing.
Amen.
And then it's only found in Paul's epistles that concerns only the church, which is his body. And it takes place before the tribulation period. And our mission, this is very, very important. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Our mission and commission. Our mission and commission. The body of Christ is to proclaim the message of reconciliation. Verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we are all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, we know no man after the flesh. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Where did you know Jesus Christ after the flesh at?
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
His earthly ministry. And what does he say? Know we him no more after the flesh.
So how do you know Jesus Christ? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and have given us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, what is this? That God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed us unto the word of reconciliation. Listen, right now we have a message of reconciliation out there to take to this world, that God is not imputing trespasses and sins against them. Mm-hmm. It's not that they're saved. He's not imputing trespasses and sins against them. Mm-hmm. Well, that's good news. Okay, what if he's not? Christ died for your sin and buried and rose again. That type of thing. You got an open door that. And he says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did not beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, but be ye what? Reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's a good ministry we have, to reconcile people, to make right. You want to get right with God? This is what you do. Okay, there's going to be a time that he's going to impute trespasses and sins. You with me?
Mm-hmm.
Then preach to Jesus Christ according to revelation of the mystery. You know that verse? Romans 16:25?
Mm-hmm. Now to him.
Now to him established us
that
according to what?
Now to him that is a power.
Power established you according to the preaching. Romans 16:25. When you think you got it in your mind,
right,
you got it on paper. Amen. Romans 16:25. Now to him that is power to establish you according to my gospel. Hey, if Paul says my gospel, is that personal?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Could you make it personal? Hey, Paul, your gospel is my gospel.
Mm-hmm.
My gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world
began.
There's another wisdom. Listen, preached, was kept secret since the world. There's stuff kept secret since the world began, and something spoken since the world began. And the gospel of the grace of God referred to my gospel by Paul, an apostle of the Gentiles, is Romans 2:16 and 16:25. In addition, we're proclaiming the gospel today in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Now, we went over a lot of stuff quickly and fast. Was it fast? No? Well, I'm over. But it's still recording, so. We're going to end it there. Father, once again, thank you for the day. Thank you for thanksgiving us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. If you're listening and want to donate to our ministry, there's a donate button. I'm going to put a donate. And you can watch us on our YouTube channel, our website channel. And if you're watching on your TV, if you've got Roku or Apple TV, you can download a Boxcast app. And you can click that and type in Dispensation Bible Church, and you can watch us live on your TV. But we'd much rather have you here.
Amen.
And it's exciting that everybody's here today. And we just went fast through our doctrinal statement. Until next week.